deep but more delicate. Buzz. Invoking the divine presence with the word who. The you is sound is made almost like the French you, with the lips finely pursed and listening for those overtones, the subtle, awakening the subtle in our being. So before we have our break, I'd like for us to share in a group practice. So in this last piece together, I'd like for us to go through, although quickly, the let's say the developmental stages, moving from, well, in the Sufi point of view, you know, the zikr remembrance, there is nothing other than God. The phrase is La ilaha illa lahu. La ilaha, no divinity, illa, except, other than Allah, God, who, present in the heart. So this orientation, let's say, brooks of no separation. So what is it that we feel when we feel separation? Well, the teachings say that there are, let's say, stages of awakening. And the first awakening, you know, there's this wonderful poem of Jalal ad-Din Rumi's that says, I awakened in the mineral kingdom, I awakened in the vegetable kingdom, I awakened in the animal kingdom, and I awakened in the human kingdom. And so the goal of the Sufi is to awaken God, awaken love in the heart, so that one's whole being is kneaded like bread dough to resonate with the divine being. There's this wonderful poem by Hafiz. I don't know if you know him. He's a wonderful Iranian poet, and he has, this is a translation by Daniel Adinsky. Actually, I don't think he translated it, but he wrote from the translation. He did an arrangement. Anyway, it's a wonderful poem. Tripping over joy. What is the difference between your experience of existence and that of a saint? The saint knows that the spiritual path is a sublime chess game with God, and that the beloved has just made a fantastic move. The saint is now continually tripping over joy and bursting out in laughter and saying, I surrender, whereas, my dear, I'm afraid you still think you have 1,000 serious moves. And the other, skinning your knees on God, he says, little by little, you will turn into stars. Even then, my dear, you will only be a crawling infant skinning your knees on God. Little by little, you will turn into the whole sweet, amorous universe in heat on a wild spring night, and become so free in a wonderful secret and pure love that flows from a conscious, one-pointed, infinite need for light. Even then, my dear, the beloved will have fulfilled just a fraction of a promise he wrote upon your heart, when your soul begins to ever bloom and laugh and spin in eternal ecstasy. Oh, little by little, you will turn into God. Start seeing everything as God, but keep it a secret. Become like one who is awestruck and nourished, listening to a golden nightingale sing in a beautiful foreign language while God invisibly nests upon its tongue. Hafiz, who can you tell in this world that when a dog runs up to you wagging its ecstatic tail, you lean down and whisper in its ear, Beloved, I'm so glad you are happy to see me. Beloved, I'm so glad, so very glad you have come. So this viewpoint, this change of perspective, moving from this, let's say, you know, this whole process of individuation that we work as so hard as, and we witness our children working so hard at becoming a person, and then all to become a person, to dissolve the personhood all over again, to be reworked. That's it. What Hazrat Inayat Khan says is that there are two births. There's the birth to your parentage, your physical existence, and then the birth of the soul. And it's often a crushing event that comes along that pulls the rug out from under us and makes us think, there's more here, something more, and orients us on our spiritual journey. You know, it's good to look at your life like that, like a spiritual journey, and to see and to honor each step that comes along as a part of it. And actually, there's a wonderful poem by Rumi. This one I like especially because it speaks of the story of Zuleika and Yusuf. For those of you, it's a wonderful Sufi love story. If you have the opportunity to read about it further. But this is Rumi's poem about Zuleika, whose love went, let's say, unrequited in the physical, personal sense, and completely fulfilled in the spiritual sense. It says, "Learn about your inner self from those who know such things, but don't repeat verbatim what they say. Zuleika, let everything be the name of Joseph, Yusuf, from celery seed to aloes wood. She loved him so much, she concealed his name in many different phrases, the inner meanings known only to her. When she said, 'The wax is softening near the fire,' she meant, 'My love is wanting me.' Or if she said, 'Look, the moon is up,' or 'The willow has new leaves,' or 'The branches are trembling,' or 'The coriander seeds have caught fire,' or 'The roses are opening,' or 'The king is in a good mood today,' or 'Isn't that lucky?' or 'The furniture needs dusting,' or 'The water carrier is here,' or 'It's almost daylight,' or 'These vegetables are perfect,' or 'The bread needs more salt,' or 'The clouds seem to be moving against the wind,' or 'My head hurts,' or 'My headache's better.' Anything she praises, it's Joseph's touch she means. Any complaint, it's his being away. When she's hungry, it's for him. Thirsty, his name is a sherbet. Cold, he's a fur. This is what the friend can do when one is in such love. Sensual people use the holy names often, but they don't work for them. The miracle Jesus did by being the name of God, Zuleika felt in the name of Yusuf. When one is united to the core of another, to speak of that is to breathe the name who, empty of self and filled with love. As the saying goes, the pot drips what's in it, the saffron spice of connecting, laughter, the onion of separation, crying. Others have many things and people they love. This is not the way of friend and friend." So in this journey to make our hearts an open accommodation for the divine being, to surrender, let's say, with the integrity of knowing that God didn't mess up in our life, and actually maybe neither did we, that maybe in looking at things from a different point of view, there is something to be gleaned, something to be gained. Because everything that we encounter is that which wisdom works with. That's what we've got to do. I had a good friend say after a very long retreat, "Now what? Now what do I do?" And the answer was, well, you keep on doing what you're doing. It's the how you're doing that begins to change. So let's say the passion that is awakened in our soul is an opportunity for us to turn within, to awaken the inner life, and to delve more deeply into what that means in the fabric of our own being. And Hazrat Inayat Khan says that the soul manifests in the world in order that it may experience all the different manifestations, all the different phases of manifestation, and yet not lose its way by regaining its original freedom, in addition to the experience and knowledge it has gained in the world. And, you know, if you look at this from the divine point of view, well, what would it look like from the divine point of view. And that is where the Sufi begins, to never consider oneself other than the one for whom one longs. So it's a conundrum, it's a koan, it's a challenge to say, what would this friend, the one friend, see, feel, hear, touch, understand, experience in this condition? So I have these stages spelled out on this piece of paper, which is above the piano, and you can pick up on the way back, way out if you'd like. But for us to take this time together to touch upon them, some will be familiar to you, and some will be new, and some will be more readily accessible, and some perhaps not. So it's something to continue to work with. But we begin with this physical existence. And this the Sufis call the plane of Nasut, looking for the ayat, the signs of God. Looking to see, let's say, the footprints of the beloved. Looking, as Hafiz did, to find, or Zuleika, how God touches, awakens a sense of finding that being in us through these clues in life. And our challenge at this level is to expand the notion of who we think we are. So we see our life perhaps as a stream of events unfolding in time, and it has a certain pattern or flavor or characteristic. It's part of this river of being, and it, let's say, is a doorway to the inner world, to take an affinity and discover through that affinity a greater sense of being. It's the feeling that we get when our mind is blown by contemplating, let's say, the leaps in modern physics, or when we sit beneath the stars and see these pinpricks of light coming through the starry sky and realize that that light is touching us, that light from, light years away has reached our being. So contemplating the eons of time or the vastness of space switches our mode of perception, and we become aware that the fabric of our body is the same fabric as the fabric of the world. Even in our emotions are familiar. Humanity shares a pool of emotions. We share joy and happiness. We share pleasure and sorrow. We share excitement and fear. We share self-consciousness and ecstasy. We share these things. These are not unknown to the whole fabric of humanity, and even of the plants and the animals. If looking into the signs of the world, we see in the mountains the majesty of being, or in the flight of the bird of freedom and lightness, or in the flow of the river, that ongoing continuity and purity. So little by little we relax the notion of who we think we are. And this is reflected even in our thinking. The Sufis call the plane of Khayal, where our thinking is expanded to include the thinking of the world. You know, we hear these revelations that so-and-so discovered something here, and oh, and history tells us that maybe it happened over here at the same time, and how is this possible? Well, to the Sufi's point of view, our mind is no different than the mind of God. So, of course, this is possible that God would think through several beings at once, and that this awareness could be born simultaneously. So we look within ourselves to find, let's say, a place of being that resonates with not rational thinking, but this kind of openness to the awe and the wonder and the fluidity of the thinking of the universe. And then, as we did earlier, we turn within to find within our being a subtle nature that can't be expressed outwardly. It has its domain inwardly. Children know this. They keep secrets. They like to hide in little places. Their eyes twinkle when they have something to share with you, and if you're busy, they won't. You know, we'll miss that opportunity, and if we take time to listen, they'll disclose them. Well, inwardly, we have that place of sanctity, that sacred secret place, which, if we listen, will disclose itself to us. And this, in the Arabic, the Sufis call latif, the fine, the subtle. So if we can pause for a moment and think and reflect inwardly, what is it in our life's experience that has expressed itself so subtly? We know what this means, this subtlety. And as we follow this inner place more deeply, we come to a place of thirst, of longing. And we discover in ourselves that which yearns to be known. There's a hadith of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, that says, I was a hidden treasure and loved to be known. And it's this inner knowing, this desire for being known, that touches this innermost place of our being and provides a doorway for us to explore more deeply. Now, the teachings of Inayat Khan are very helpful in this next step, because as with all the Sufis, Ibn Arabi and Shahabuddin Suhrawardi, the plane of creative imagination, the plane of mithal, is extremely important. It's where we move from our rational thinking to an a kind of interpretive creative thinking that allows meaning to express itself in life. So if you can consider this a meditation through these stages and attempt to transit this place from this one subtle nature to this place of, let's say, fashioning out of the subtle fabric of one's being an ideal. Perhaps it's a vision of the deity of God, making an idol or an ideal of God, not for a final stage, let's say, but to know the one and only abstract being, to know this being, we can make a bridge by fashioning an ideal. Hazrat Inayat Khan says, he has a wonderful phrase about fashioning God. He says, it would be a mistake to limit God as a personality, but it's a greater mistake still to deny God a personality. Because how could the unlimited being be limited in any way? So we work with this inner fabric to fashion an ideal. The one who has no imagination to make a God and is not open to a conception of God, even his own, finds no stepping stone to reach that knowledge which his soul longs for but his doubts deny. It is not wrong to make God in one's imagination, the God of all beauty, free from ugliness and evil, for by that imagination one is drawn nearer and nearer every moment of one's life to that divine ideal, which is the seeking of one's soul. People ask, if all is God, then God is not a person. The answer, though the seed does not show the flower in it, yet the seed culminates in the flower, and therefore the flower already existed in the seed. No doubt it would be a great mistake to call God a personality, but it is still greater mistake when one denies the personality of God. Man, in the flowering of his personality, in the flowering of our personality, we express the personality of God. So what the Sufis say is that this is like a reflection, the hall of mirrors in which the divine attributes in the level of their perfection are reflected, are exemplified, let's say, in their archetypal qualities as our beings. And the mind is an open, fluid mind that can perceive these orientations of the higher abstracted form of the divine being, facilitate this birthing process of the divine in and as humanity, placing God on the throne of the heart of humankind. Now this bridge between this plane of imagination and the higher levels is what the Sufis call the celestial realm, or the plane of Malakut. And it's where we discover ourselves as beings of light. In the words of Ibn Arabi, he says, in this world, there is nothing in this world without its likeness in the higher world. Nothing in this world without its likeness in the higher world. And the angels are like tenuities that ascend and descend the ladder. that make a bridge between these worlds, the worlds of archetypes and the worlds of examples in the human physical world. And it's access through these very sublime emotions that we experience. As we discover ourselves as beings of light, the first thing that happens is we notice everything that's dark. Any little blemish becomes a huge smear on the face of the pristine glory of our soul. And yet, if you look closely into the mystical teachings, they will all say that inviolate, in the inner sanctum of our being, there is a place where the purity in its original form is accessible to us, this original, immaculate state. And in seeking that state, let's say it is accessed through prayer, perhaps through the different stages of prayer, prayer as forgiveness, prayer as invocation, prayer as glorification, prayer as communion, and prayer as the deepest state of one's realization. There is a wonderful piece of music that exemplifies to me this discovery of the inner immaculate state as a, let's say, a well-worn human being, one who has skinned one's knees on God. And this is the Pie Jesu of Andrew Lloyd Webber, and we'll listen to it in just a moment. And as we listen to it, it has the voices of a young boy and a soprano woman. And perhaps you can hear in the quality of these voices that blending of the, well, initially the original purity, and then there's this chorus that comes in. It's almost harsh after this one voice. You think, ugh, all these voices are kind of blemishing the sound of this one pure tone. And then comes the duet between the soprano, the young boy, and the woman. And well, perhaps it will have significance to you. So I offer it as a, let's say, a place to arouse these more sublime emotions. Those higher planes are accessed only by the grace of God. At this point, our will has nothing to do with it. There's a phrase of the Sufis that says, it suffices the mystic if God alone experiences these higher planes. So what follows is the, let's say, understanding that goes beyond this thinking, but derives from the point of view of the angel. What would it look like to look out from the eyes of the celestial being what insight, what meaning, what divine knowledge. And in this revelation, if one is granted that, then the secrets, like those disclosed to Halaj, for which he was crucified, reveal themselves in the divine strategy. The Sufis say one is invited to the court of the king. And further, that the pledge of futuhat, of fealty, to the Lord of one's being, that one, let's say at this point, these are the words of Al-Halaj, oh, do away with my nasutiyat, with all the idiosyncrasies of my personality, that thy lahutiyat, that the divine attributes and their perfection may appear. Oh, God, do away with my nasutiyat, that thy lahutiyat may appear, that the divine qualities may manifest themselves in me. And the zikr, that phrase, la ilaha illallahu, is the proclamation of the mystic's expression of unity, and what the mystics call awakening beyond life. So we can join together in the repetition of the zikr a few times here. Said very simply, la ilaha illa la hu. 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 La ilaha illa. And three times at your own rhythm, with full attention. La, 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 la. Jalaluddin Rumi says, why would the gardener have planted the seed if not for the sake of the flower, of the plant? Why would the gardener have planted the seed if not for the sake of the plant? So in this relationship between the divine being, all perfect, eternal, existing eternally, what relevance, humanity, this flowering, for the sake of the plant. And the Sufis say that, let's say we breathe the breath of God. We breathe the breath of God. That in the flowering of this personality, something is culled and brought back into the divine being. That God is not static, God is dynamic. And God exists in the evolution of humanity as well as in the ineffable reality beyond existence. And so as we, let's say, make an accommodation for the divine being in our heart, in our life, in our personality, our prayers, in our relationships, we give an expression to the divine ishq, the yearning of the divine being to be known and unfolded in life. This the Sufis call tawheed, awakening in life. So once having touched upon, let's say, the higher states of existence, how do we open our eyes and relate to the rest of the world and, let's say, keep the integrity of our soul? And so it's through gatherings like these that the dervishes, this is what we are, dervishes, the seekers, come together to give expression to this longing, to this reality. So our time together in this configuration has come to an end. But it's also a beginning. And I look forward to sharing the rest of it with you. I want to say in conclusion that I will be here this weekend. If you have any questions or wish to connect or speak with me, I'm here. I've got a room in the Blue Ridge Assembly, so you can go to the desk there, leave me a note if you wish, or find me at dinner or in the hills. I'm here to make myself available to you.